boy, it's time for Dumbass News.
All right.
It's time for Chaz and AJ Dumbass News.
99.1 PLR.
Dumbass.
Look, kids, it's AJ.
Hey, kids. Want to see an alligator?
Comedian Emily.
All right.
Just see it.
Comedian Emily Sierra in studio.
Good morning.
She crushed Friday night at the Chaz and AJ Comedy Show. Really, so really impressive, Emily.
I had so much fun.
Yay.
It was really great.
Yay. I didn't fall in my big heels I wore.
Yay.
It was like up these stairs.
That could have been the finale.
Yeah.
A man in Florida was waiting in the drive-thru line at a Popeyes when a drunk woman walked up to the window and demanded a Baconator. Mm. Let's go to the news report.
Let's go. Okay. On the sidewalk.
Excuse me, lady. Let me open my door, please.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to get out the way, but I want my order.
Oh, this is raw audio.
This is the guy actually, the guy who was up, who was filming her, who rolled up on her. He was actually making an order of Popeyes when she walked up. She just like walks past the vehicle. So this is him.
It's the whole account. Yeah. It's the whole encounter.
Yep.
Okay, wait. Yeah. He's a customer.
In the vehicle. Yes.
Hold on. Let me ask questions.
Yep. Yeah,
okay. He's at the window?
Yes.
Or at the drive-through speaker?
At the window.
At the window.
The window itself, yes.
They're about to hand him his food.
He's getting close to it, yes.
Why is he recording already?
Because she also just walked up.
Okay.
He must have saw her, like, walking.
Dumbass in progress.
Right.
Got it.
Let's go. Okay. On the sidewalk.
Excuse me, lady. Let me open my door, please.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to get out the way, but I want my order. I'm sorry for being in your way, but I just want the order that I came here with.
Oh, boy.
She came
there's
here with
a lot wrong already.
She came there with the order.
Okay.
Because I love a Baconator at Popeyes.
Ooh.
Yeah.
She keeps adding L's to words that don't need them.
You don't notice the
I'm sorry for blending her way.
Right. You don't notice the smell of chicken by any chance.
Wow.
Yep.
You know, we just spoke to a woman from Florida who's awesome.
Yes.
And now, not so much.
Yeah, the other opposite of the spectrum.
All right.
With a whole mess. The whole mess.
A Baconator?
A Baconator.
What, who you came? How you got here?
He doesn't sound better.
No.
And he's sober.
He's egging her on a little bit. So yeah. At first you feel like, oh, he's being a nice guy. And then you listen like, nah.
No,
he,
no.
He knows who he's dealing
he
with.
He wants material for his video.
Yeah.
You want to be honest with you?
Yeah, how you got
I
here?
I walked here. I've been waiting for 15 minutes for a goddamn Baconator. You want to give me a fist bump for waiting 15 minutes?
Where you from? You not from goddamn around here.
I'm from California. I don't play
That's
with
a long walk.
Seriously. For Baconator at Popeyes. There's an endorsement.
She's at Popeyes looking for a Baconator. Who makes a Baconator?
Wendy's.
Not Popeyes.
Oh.
Yep. She couldn't be any further away.
Right.
You could hear he wanted to correct her, and then he was like, nah, it'll be funnier if I just let her explain.
Yeah. She's rolling. Yeah.
You from California.
Exactly.
What you doing down here?
Nah, you want to play with me? You play with what I'm waiting for.
Yeah, they got you up.
Playing with me? That's at least two.
They don't, so they don't want to give you.
What's she saying? Is she saying you want to play with me?
They don't want to give her order is what she feels like. Yeah.
Right. Because they don't have it.
That's hard.
We don't got bacon.
We sent someone out to Wendy's.
Yeah, I'd be like, do me a favor. If you see any bacon here, it's yours.
There's no bacon in a Popeyes?
No.
None?
No, it's fried chicken.
They don't put bacon on a chicken sandwich?
It's fried chicken.
Right.
Yeah. I've not seen any bacon chicken sandwiches.
I don't think they put
sandwiches.
Bacon on the sandwiches. I usually get a 6-piece honey barbecue.
Mm, okay.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Hey, man!
They better give you a
food. Hey, man!
Yeah, that's right. They got to give you a food.
Exactly. I just want my burger.
Here comes a cop.
Yes!
Here's her ride.
Is that what's happening?
Yeah.
You see this? You see the lights first, and then you hear it, and she thinks they're coming to help her.
Right. To get her Baconator.
She starts celebrating.
Right. I'm getting my Baconator.
Yes. I'm so sorry.
They understand it's an emergency.
We need more.
This is right where the guy in the car falls silent, though. So, like, he's been egging her on. Siren goes off, and he's like, I'm just going to sit here quietly now.
Right.
Now I'm just going to play the waiting game.
Right.
I just want my Baconator meal. Girl, I just want my Baconator meal.
She's like dancing by the window now.
What are you doing?
Baconator meal.
Officer.
Right. Okay.
Let's go. Oh. Let's go.
Is my food ready?
She leaves the window. He's like, I gotta go.
That's awesome.
Is my food ready?
I'm ready to go.
He earned it.
So the cops take her in the car?
They just kind of walk her off.
Let's get out of
here.
Get you out of the drive-thru.
Last we see of her, yeah.
We learned that she came in an Uber, by the way. She did not walk. She showed up in an SUV, and the SUV didn't want to wait in the drive-thru line. So that's why she is without a vehicle.
Right.
Oh,
so she did not drive, thankfully.
I've never got a Baconator.
Hailstorm, Freak Like Me. They played at the Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater on Sunday. And Ruth was outside asking people what their freak is.
Yeah.
We got a couple good ones yesterday we played for you. It's up on the podcast. Today, who are we talking to?
Today we're talking to Luciana from Long Island.
What's your name? Where are you from?
Luciana from Long Island, New York.
Wow, nice. What part of Long Island?
Seaford.
And you came here to see Hailstorm tonight.
I did.
Hailstorm fan? Seen him before?
Never.
Ruth,
first.
On audio, you sound so much smaller.
Seriously.
You sound like about an inch tall.
Seriously.
It gets higher as I talk louder. So
yeah, you
I
sound
think,
excited. Right. And, yeah, you don't have the compression of the radio station.
Every dog's like, ow.
I feel like there's a little tiny mouse outside with a microphone.
I know.
Chicken and fist.
Okay.
Never. First time. Always listen to her, though.
You're in for a treat. So they have a song called Freak Like Me. We're asking people to share what their freak.
I'm sorry. I'm distracted by this.
I wasn't until you brought it up. Now I'm like, well, here is her voice.
Okay.
To share what their freak is. No shame.
Oh, boy. I don't know. I got a lot of freaks.
Do you know freaks?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Okay. You feel free to, like, out somebody else's freak if you don't want to share yours. That's cool.
I kind of like to keep my...
Ruth's just here for the dirt. I don't care whose it is.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Rats will freak out. Yeah.
I kind of like to keep my freaks a little private.
Okay, how about a deep, dark secret?
Like to be watched.
Like to be watched. Just like another Hailstorm song called I Get On.
Yes.
So you are not the voyeur. You prefer to be the voyee.
Correct, yes.
Oh, and have you done this before?
Maybe once or twice.
Okay. And where do people, like, go about to do that? Is that, like, in clubs? Nobody's going to know. You're from Long Island. You're good.
Yeah, nobody knows Long Island.
I do.
I heard that there are clubs, but, well, the place we're staying at tonight has a really, really big window, so.
Ooh. Okay, that's hot.
Yes. So we'll see what happens.
Where are you staying tonight?
Ruth wants to go with her binoculars.
That's why she wanted to know.
Where are you staying? Which floor?
Who's that mouse cheering me on?
There's a mouse in our window.
I hear squeaking.
Go for it.
Shut up.
Who said shut up?
Her husband.
Oh.
So he was great.
It
was fun.
You're blowing it for me.
Wow. Wait to be watched.
Huh.
Is that freaky or weird?
I would say it's weird.
Mm.
It's weird.
Yeah. What?
It's more kinky than freaky.
It is kinky.
Yeah.
In my case,
that means you're getting turned on by being watched.
Yeah. In my case, disappointed.
It means you like attention.
But,
right?
But it matters who is watching. Yeah.
Exactly. Right. And what you're watching.
Or it's like the idea of anybody.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, the random guy in the bushes, not so much.
Yeah. It's like your neighbor. Ugh.
Right.
Now, if you're a girl, do you want a guy to be watching or a girl to be watching?
I would think either one, really. Depending on
I don't think so.
What you're into. I mean, if you're into both, you want both.
Well, it's not like your dog or something, right?
Right.
Just sitting there watching.
Yeah, that's weird.
That's not
so
enough.
Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I'm a dude and you want to be watched, I want to be watched by a woman. I don't want another dude watching
Me. Totally.
I feel like I'm being judged.
Totally a girl, yeah.
Like, why aren't you doing it that way? What are you doing now? What is this?
What's going on?
What do you think? Get out of the way.
Are you critiquing me? What are we doing?
Yeah, I'm going to show you how this is done.
What are you writing down?
What if it's a couple?
What's that?
What if it's a couple?
A couple watching?
What do you mean?
A guy
a couple
and, yeah.
watching.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, interesting.
Am I by myself or with somebody else?
Wow, we are building a scenario.
I'm just curious. Because, you know, it's a solo performance.
It's your show, AJ. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I think just a woman.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't want a dude in the room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You feel self-conscious.
That, and I just, you know, we don't need any help here. Like, we're good.
Yeah. I know.
Like, you, hot girl. Yeah, maybe.
I know.
We need help. I don't know.
I hate when they start yawning.
Yeah, like boring.
Right. Oh, they're trying to change the channel.
Or it's like, it's over.
Right. That was quick.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Yep.
Well, in a couple of days.
That's okay. 20 minutes of the performance.
I thought we'd get some watchers calling in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or some voyees.
Voyees.
Mm. Voyeurs and voyees.
Any out there?
I guess that's what those cam sites are for. People who like to be watched, they can just set up a cam.
Oh, yeah. Strangers, though.
Yeah.
But then you also make money.
Yeah, well, how much money are we talking about here?
I don't know, AJ.
Yeah. We had a guy down in the Maples in Shelton who... You know, all of these cottages are like right up on the road.
Yeah.
And he would walk around this house naked and have like the front door open. So it's just like the glass screen door.
Yeah.
And his kitchen windows.
Yeah.
And like you drive through and he's just like standing there. And I'm like, man, you're weird, man.
Oh, wow. Right?
It's like, what's the deal?
It's a weird looking bear.
I like the night breeze when I'm cooking.
Right. Yeah. Like, what's going on here?
Hey, Geppetto, put the puppet away.
Must be very hot in that kitchen.
I know. Right? You don't need to cook with that.
Right.
Yeah.
And growing mushrooms, are we?
And can we stop with the celebrities singing the seventh inning stretch?
Please.
We have an actual sports guy here, Dan Booth from Channel 3. What do you think about celebrities singing seventh inning stretch?
Well, you know, I think part of it's a ritual, right? And I think that's part of the allure of it. I think Bill Murray had a couple of good ones back in the digs. I know he's a huge Cubs fan and everything comes with that. But yeah, to your point, I am someone, I love karaoke. I am pretty good at karaoke. My brother, one of his best friends, we used to go all the time back home when I was living back in New York.
What was your go-to
song? We tried to rotate a lot. So we actually kind of have a rule where we try not to repeat the same song, which is a lot.
From the karaoke person?
Yeah, so it's a lot harder said than done.
What are your like top three? Like if I asked you to pick one right now, which one would you go to?
A lot of different things from Billy Joel.
Okay.
All right, so Billy Joel is your go-to artist.
I would say, what was another good one? I mean, it's a lot of 80s rock, a lot of... we've done some good 90s hip hop. We've done pulled a lot of stuff out of the 70s. We're big Beach Boys fans, so a lot of Beach Boys.
You can
Boys
hit those
as well.
High notes.
Oh yeah, of course. I shout out to Brian Wilson. May he rest in peace. Yeah. But it is a, you know,
this guy just gave himself a lot of work in this hour. Wow.
No, you hear a lot of Dan.
So back to this seventh inning stretch. What do you think when they compile and make a composite like three celebrities?
Yeah.
Shouldn't you just pick one? Like, one are we going to have do this thing?
Right. The other two just stand there and look pretty.
Right. So Eddie Vedder, Cindy Crawford, and who?
Tony Rizzo.
Anthony Rizzo. He just retired. He played for the Cubs, won a World Series there in 2016. So he's been like walking around Chicago as like a legend recently. So
just let him do it.
Yeah.
I think when you're sitting next to a professional singer, it's like, well, he's going to help me.
Right. Yeah. And then why Cindy Crawford? Why are we handing her a microphone?
Because there's also a camera. Why not? Right.
Yeah.
He's something to look at.
All right. Here it is.
In the bleachers, Anthony Rizzo.
Football.
If Fudge
this
had a voice,
sport doesn't happen in football.
If Fudge had a voice,
let's all sing and sway back and forth.
No, let's crush skulls.
Right.
Let's knock the soul out of a human being running the opposite direction.
We'll steal balls. Philly style. So
they've been doing that since they built Wrigley.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Tradition.
Yep.
The best one ever was Ozzy, who had no idea that there were lyrics. Had no idea.
Yeah. Can you find that?
That's I awesome. Have it You're, ready to go, Chad.
Oh, man.
I
love it. You're the best. All right, let's hear it.
Start singing with me. Are you ready?
He's about to swear.
This
poor
ready?
Organist has no
I
idea when to start
you.
Playing.
Are you ready? One, two, three. Let's go out to the bar. Let's go out to the river. Take me in the river.
I think he just said, I don't remember what I have to say.
Service to better vehicle. Follow the pain in your eyes. Don't move
Folks
your
at Wrigley were like, that's a win. He didn't swear. Right? I think we're okay.
Yeah.
I think it's good.
I think there was one line where he says, I don't remember what I'm supposed to say. I don't remember what I'm supposed to say.
Wow. That's awesome.
That's classic.
That's awesome.
Dan Booth in studio. He was covering the Little League World Series for Channel 3, but also would pop on the show and give us updates.
Yep.
That was pretty cool.
It was really a special opportunity to be out there in general because... You know, when it comes to being a local reporter and not necessarily, you know, or just riding the wave of what's going on, you don't necessarily know if you're going to have a team go every year, you know, or, you know, ever really had the opportunity to cover something like that. So, you know, this is my third station that I've worked for.
Where are you from?
I grew up just outside New York City in Hartsdale, New York, in okay. southern Westchester. So,
nice. Okay.
You know, and this
so
is my third.
What was your first station?
I was in Abilene, Texas.
Ooh.
Out in
what
West Texas.
What the
Damn.
Hell were you doing out there?
Trying to cut my teeth in the industry.
Okay, and so that was the first place to offer you a job.
Yeah, basically. Which, you know, especially when it comes to TV reporting from that standpoint. And for a lot of reporters, you typically have to go to smaller markets and then work your way up
yeah.
and everything that comes with that.
Right, so you knew you would work your way back.
Yes, for sure.
So Abilene to where?
To Augusta, Georgia. Which was fun for
That's
a lot
closer.
Of reasons.
Cool.
Wow.
Obviously, you know, I can go into that, whether it was getting the chance to cover the Masters twice, whether it was covering the Georgia Bulldogs win the national championship over TCU.
A lot of bugs out there.
Yeah.
A lot of bugs out there.
Bugs
I can
and
tell
barbecue.
You many stories about fighting bugs to get back to my apartment late at night after getting back from the
Did you see that outtake? Well, not you know, the reporter who was doing a report. He's in his reporter voice, and then a beetle flew into his mouth.
Yes. Yes. There are a lot of great... news reporting bloopers, if you want to go find them somewhere on YouTube.
So then from Georgia to Channel 3?
Yes. So it's been, you know, all the different places I've been have had different great experiences for one reason or another, right? Where, you know, being away from your family is tough for as long as you, as I was, but having the opportunity to, you know, think on my feet, to grow in that way, to, you know, when I was in Texas, you know, I had the chance to cover Friday Night Lights, like real Friday Night Lights out in West Texas.
It's a real football is a religion in Texas.
It is a whole different beast, believe me when I tell you. And that's nothing bad about Connecticut. That's nothing bad about Northeast.
No, but
no.
it's a different thing.
Yeah,
it is a different approach. You know, it's you know Friday Night Lights, the TV show, the movie, whatever it is. I've watched it all, and there is a level of realism to that where the stores close down.
Oh, and you
down,
still don't get it.
Everyone
like,
goes out.
You have
out.
To go there and like look at it. Like I lived in Dallas.
Yeah, and to the point, so for Dallas, I had the chance to cover the state championships at Jerry's World multiple times. And that's a whole event. Like, people from all over the state come out, football fans of all ages, and that is just an awesome environment to see high school kids get the chance to play on that field with the star. Even though I'm a Giants fan, I'll tip my cap to Jerry for that one, because that stadium is incredible.
When I lived in Dallas, yeah. we had Primestar satellite television, and we couldn't get the local channels. We would get Atlanta, Georgia.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And that was, you turn on the news,
uh-huh.
and it's murder, 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 with a side of murder.
Right.
And murder, murder, murder.
Okay.
Murder.
During the weather? Murder.
Were you in Atlanta?
No, I was in Augusta. Okay. I went to Atlanta a lot for whether it was covering high school sports, covering the Georgia Bulldogs, whenever they would play at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. The list goes on of all the different things there. And then, you're also close enough to where Augusta's on the border of Georgia and South Carolina. So for a coverage area, I was the sports director at that station I worked at. And we would cover both states, basically. Yeah. So whether it was high school, college, whatever it was.
Phil has that story.
Yeah.
This is that reporter.
Oh, yeah, the bug in the mouth.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
What really happened on that Thursday here at Augusta High School that led to Chris Wood's death?
The f*** is that? I'm dying this country ass uptown. Crying in my mouth. The I can't see pilot. Let's get the f*** out of this country, motherfucker.
The struggles of being a reporter, let me tell you. There are times.
That first, like,
best news ever.
Yeah. So there's a story that there was a photo album from the 1890s found in a used car at a North Haven dealership.
Wow.
Did you see this story?
Yeah.
Workers at a North Haven used car dealership found a piece of history inside one of their cars. The antique leather-bound photo album has portraits dating back to the 19th century. And they're trying to get the album back to the family, and they're getting all kinds of help from all over the world. Once this went viral, museums are contacting them, all those people who put together the family trees and stuff.
Yeah.
And some of these photos were taken by some of the most popular photographers in the Northeast in that time period.
Wow.
Now, if you had a camera, wouldn't you have been a popular photographer?
Anyone who had one at that point,
right. You're traveling with gunpowder,
right.
And that was the big tripod.
Yeah, with the little,
put the blanket over you.
Yeah, watch the birdie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Boom.
Right. There was no birdie involved at all.
Right.
Yeah.
Pretty wild.
Yep.
For that to be found in a car.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
How did it get there? Who left it there?
I was going to say.
And
yeah.
Who left it?
Yeah. Why?
Who doesn't search a car?
Right.
Before you sell it? Or like if you're putting it up for auction.
Yeah.
If you're the auction person, wouldn't you go through and just take a look?
Yes,
see
exactly.
What's in there.
Right.
You would think.
Yeah. Actor Robert Redford dies at the age of 89 in his home in Utah. I first saw him in Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Right.
And this song was like this song. I can't hear this song without thinking of that scene. Paul Newman and him on a bicycle.
Right.
And they're riding through the rain.
Yeah, I think they're probably trying to forget that still.
Yeah.
It was more to the movie.
it was a great movie. It was the first time I heard the word S in a movie. Ooh, when he jumps off the.
He said the S word. Right.
They jump off the cliff into the water.
I think I've long one before.
And then also another kind of weird ending for a Hollywood movie at the time. The two people you're rooting for the entire movie die in the end.
Yeah.
What?
You don't know.
Right.
They freeze frame it. Like they're surrounded by the Mexican army.
Yeah.
And they're in this saloon or whatever, and they're like, okay, let's go. And they walk out, and they freeze frame it, and you just hear gunshots. Million gunshots. You're like, I don't think that, I don't think they made it.
Do the math.
No.
Actually, they dodged like the Matrix.
That would have been funny if they made a two.
Right.
And they kind of showed how they got out of that situation.
Or you see everybody missed.
Right.
And they'll just stand like.
Right. What?
This whole Edward in their shape, like Solowitz.
But Robert Redford and Paul Newman in a movie together was like George Clooney and Brad Pitt in a movie together.
Yeah.
Peanut butter and jelly, man.
Yep. That's right.
Couldn't get better.
Very good chemistry.
Like shake and bake. Yep.
And the ladies loved it.
Yes, they did.
And then, Phil, did you cue up that scene from The Natural?
Sure did. So there's no talking here, but the pitch is coming in. And again, big moment here. His dad's in the stands. Here's the swing.
Even without the visuals, it's pretty damn cool.
Yeah. This reminds me of my change of bulb in my house.
That's right. Eight other bulbs go off.
Me running.
And AJ's running down High Street.
I saw him. He changed the damn bulb to a 61. And a 21.
So he's just done something you know everybody's going to talk about the rest of their lives, and there's no bat flip. He's not, like, racing around the bases. Just puts his heads down, just do my little jog, touch home plate.
A little cool.
That's it. Just understated, yeah.
Yeah,
that was
that's
Robert
pretty
Redford.
Cool.
Right.
I might watch that tonight.
I had to stop between bases to catch my breath. Have a cigarette. Hi, here we go.
Robert Redford passes at the age of 89. A lot of talk about this over the weekend. We didn't play it yesterday, but it makes sense to play it now because we have the author of Iron Maiden at 50. Did anyone hear Bruce Dickinson perform the national anthem?
Oh, yeah.
We have some of it. We're not going to play the whole thing, just so you know, but here's some of it.
Iron Maiden's Bruce Dickinson.
It's not perfect, but he still has a voice,
yes.
Unlike some other people from his time period.
It
you
was
know?
A rough start, though. It was a rough start.
Rough start.
But yeah. He's getting better.
Yeah. But everybody was sending it to me, something like, listen to Bruce, he sounds great. I'm like, that's not great.
Yeah.
It's very good.
It's very good.
I think he's like, I started a little too high. I got to just back it off a little bit.
Yeah.
He did recover. He recovered.
He did. Yeah. No, he ended nicely.
Daniel Buxpan is on. He's author. He's a music journalist.
Ooh.
But most importantly, put together a book called Iron Maiden at 50, and it's out today.
Nice.
Good morning, Daniel.
Good morning.
What'd you think of the national anthem performance?
While I heard all the same flaws that you did, overall, I would say the guy sang the crap out of it. And it's interesting to hear his voice without, like, all the drums and guitars and everything.
Yeah.
Hmm.
That man is an opera singer.
Yes.
Yep. I can see that.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, it's right. I mean, doing it without any kind of backing and, you know, it's probably hard to do in that context. I don't know if you got a sound check and all that sort of thing.
Yeah. And so, you didn't have, you know, three or four songs to warm up.
Exactly.
He's got a whole different lifestyle.
Yep.
He crushed this part.
Oh, the land of—
See, when you do that at the end, everyone forgets whatever happened in the beginning.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
Yep. You finish it nice. You're good.
I mean, that bit right there when he was singing Free and just extending it for as long as possible, that's why we show up. That's it. That's it right there.
He's actually getting thinner as he did it.
So how much did you have to dig into Iron Maiden for this book? Is it mostly pictures? Is it a chronological order?
Well, yet again, I must give credit to everyone at Quarto for all the visual elements because they do all that. I just write the thing. But all the photos and memorabilia, like everything you see in there, they did all that.
A lot of great photos.
Yeah.
Bruce is a young guy.
Yep.
Like, it's cool.
Yeah. Bruce is a young guy with the porn mustache.
That was disturbing. That was a bit disturbing.
Yeah. But he's got the right name to be in porn.
Yeah. Dickinson, yeah.
He totally does.
Yeah. I wanted to run
100%.
For the hills. Yeah.
Yeah. Oof. Ouch.
And did you put, bits of trivia in there? Did you, address how Eddie came about?
Oh, yeah. If you have a retrospective book about Iron Maiden and you don't write about Eddie, that's malpractice. You have to write about Eddie.
Yeah.
you know, I mean, he just started off as this like paper mache thing that they had behind them when they, you know, when they played at clubs, that, you know, they had that and they had the name Iron Maiden up there. And, you know, it just sort of evolved from this really like, you know, kind of low rent high school talent show sort of prop to this thing that's turned out to be this perfect mascot for them for their entire career. You know, they've had a lot of turnover. You know, Bruce quit the band, came back to the band. So, you know, there hasn't been a, like, one identifiable member that everyone focuses on. Like, you know, like they don't have a Jim Morrison type, you know, but they have Eddie. And so, you know, no matter what's happened in the band, no matter how many people have come and gone, there's always Eddie. So that's how people know who's in, you know, who's in the band. And the lettering also is very iconic. And it's both things have just served them really well for the whole time.
I disagree just a little bit with you. I think Bruce and Steve Harris are the two, you know, that's the
mainstays,
the Eddie and Dave of that band. Yep. You know, if you don't have those two on stage, I feel like you're not as enthusiastic to go see Iron Maiden.
Yeah, you're lacking big time. Yep.
Well, if Steve Harris was not there, there would be no Iron Maiden to see.
It's true.
So, I mean, that's definitely true. But if you walked up to somebody on the street and showed them a picture of Bruce Dickinson, I'm not sure that everyone would know who that is. If you showed them a picture of Eddie, they would know exactly what you're talking about.
That's a great point.
Yeah, true. Every album.
Yeah, even if you're not an Iron Maiden fan.
Yeah.
You would know.
Yeah, and even if you didn't know that's Eddie, you would have like a response for sure. to this like horrible ghoul that's you know baring its teeth at you and all that sort of thing. I agree with you that, you know, Bruce Dickinson is probably, you know, he's the most recognizable member probably, you know, and as the front man, he gets the most attention, definitely. But Eddie is just such a powerful visual thing.
An icon.
It's just
so that was a paper mache thing that they had behind them. So that came before any album art or any pictures.
Oh yeah, that was for a couple of years when they were just kind of slugging it out in clubs. And the Eddie mask used to vomit blood onto the back of their drummer at the time.
Like an early Gwar show.
Yeah.
He just needs to cool down, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, it gets hot back there, you know? it eventually evolved into more of a thing. Yeah, but at the time it was, it was the size of, they molded it on a human face. So it wasn't even big or anything. It was just this, like, this mask behind the drummer. But now it's their brand, you know.
I think the best version of Eddie was Somewhere in Time album, where he was kind of like a cyborg, a robot. That was the coolest Eddie they ever had.
Oh, for me, it's Peace of Mind. Like, that's kind of like the most iconic depiction of him. But all of them are great. And every kind of, you know, predicament that he's in on every cover is really great, except if he's the one like on the cover of Killers actually killing somebody.
Yeah, that's my favorite
with the blood. Yeah.
Oh yeah, and you can see the victim's hands clutching. Yeah. Like, please no.
It's the last grasp before death.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I love it. They, you know, they just brought it every time on every cover. I think it's fantastic.
That to me, like, so the Killers album is the album that introduced me to them.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That was the first album I heard from them. And then
they just kept
getting better.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great record. You know, not everyone is like as fond of those first two records with Paul Di'Anno. Those are great records. Those are excellent, excellent records. And in fact, they're the only Iron Maiden albums where I don't skip any songs.
Right.
Those are just raw, like they just get you going immediately. Great stuff. And
think about that time period. 1 year later, they come out with Number of the Beast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not a lot of time to write that much great material, record it, and put it out.
Seriously.
Yeah, I mean, it's really amazing when, you know, what, think about what they accomplished just in the 80s. You know, every single thing they released in the 80s was pretty iconic. And it was just one thing after another, you know, and they would be on these massive tours. They worked really, really, really hard. And there were, you know, just at that, in that period, there were no duds. They were just firing on all cylinders, and they had real, you know, unity of purpose. It really felt like a band, you know, even though Steve Harris is really the guy, their music feels like a band. They feel like a team. And all those, you know, all those records, especially in the 80s, are those, you know, those feel like team efforts to me, from a very unified group of guys.
Daniel Buck's band is on, author, music journalist, and just today released Iron Maiden at 50.
Yeah, congratulations.
Any rumors to, you know, Iron Maiden not playing the Ozzy show? You know, I heard that they wanted to get paid. What was the deal with that? Why wasn't Iron Maiden at that Ozzy farewell show?
I don't know why they didn't play. You know, I mean, I had heard that there was one band that wanted to get paid, so they didn't play. I don't know that that was them. I never heard who that was. But I mean, when the Ozzy thing was happening, Bruce Dickinson was on tour with his solo band, so they couldn't play. You know, I mean, I'm sure they could have, you know, arranged something.
Right.
You know, it's certainly that's within their capabilities. But I didn't hear anything to the effect that, like, that they were the band who wanted to get paid. I never heard that.
Okay. Yeah. I was just wondering.
Yeah, I'm curious.
You don't know what to believe.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
Well, listen, man. Great book, by the way.
Thank you.
And you do great work. You did the Ozzy at 75, which I cherish.
Yeah.
We'll link up on the radio station website. Iron Maiden at 50. Daniel Buckspan, author, music journalist. Thanks for coming on. Talk to you soon.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks, sir. 99.1 PLR.
It's time for Chaz and AJ Dumbass News.
Look, kids, it's AJ
Dumbass.
Run for the hills, kid. Run for the hills. Run for your life.
This week at 9:20 in Dumbass News, we're celebrating the kings and queens of Viral City.
Yay.
You know, where you just happen to be in a news story and you said something really cool and the whole world enjoyed it.
Yes.
This one started with a house fire.
So the girl come downstairs. She come out her apartment with her baby with no shoes on. I said, oh, girl, it's cold outside. She said, something ain't right. I said, oh, man. She said, oh, man, the building is on fire. I said, no, what? I got my three kids and we bounced out. We ain't gonna be in no fire. Not today.
She didn't need someone else to talk with.
No.
She didn't need to breathe.
She did everything.
She's playing different parts.
She did all the parts.
She could have filmed sound effects. Yeah.
Wow.
And I just want to hear her talk. I want to hear her put an order in for food.
Right, right.
I want to hear her talk about a movie.
Read me a story.
Fire.
Ruth, we got to try to find her, please.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
That'd be awesome.
Do you need extra napkins with the order?
Not today.
Not today.
Someone tried to cut you off in traffic.
Not today.
Did I get a raise, boss?
Not today.
Yep. Again, late.
Is there more to that? Or
that's really all of her comments kind of cut together. I don't have the original report that she was in. They just took like her little 20-second segment.
Oh, man.
And she had everything, the facial expressions, the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
I mean, she was entertaining.
She's got the M&M jacket on.
And seen to watch and hear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I did a screenshot. There's one facial expression she gave where she's like surprised and her eyes are wide open.
Yes, yes.
Oh, man. The building is on fire.
I've seen that look a lot. Usually when I show up. Yep.
Not today.
Not today.
I like how she hits every part of the register in her
she
voice.
She does. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is cold out?
Oh, not today.
Oh, yeah.
The building is on fire.
So the girl come downstairs. She come out her apartment with her baby with no shoes on. I said, oh, girl, it's cold outside. She said, something ain't right. I said, oh, man. She said, oh, man, the building is on fire.
And she went fast, slow.
Yeah.
I mean, everything.
Yeah.
fantastic.
She's every news reporter's dream.
Oh, yeah, big time.
The best thing that reporter did was say nothing.
Yes.
Just exactly. You go for it.
Let it run.
Go
just
right ahead.
Stop talking.
Let it ride. Yep.
And then, of course, at this point in the internet, we got the remix to everything.
Nice.
Right.
And I think this actually became more popular than the clip.
My friend said, hey, something wrong. It's popping. I said, what? She said, yeah. I said, no. She come out of her bedroom with her baby with no shoes on. Shoes on. I said, oh, that's cold outside. She said, come, 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 me right. I said, what? I said, oh, man. She said, oh, man.
The building is on fire, fire. The building is on fire, fire.
I said, no, what? I got my three kids and we
masterpiece.
I'd buy that.
It's a masterpiece. Amazing. And that's before AI.
I played that in my car.
That's someone actually sat down and did that.
Sampled it.
Yep.
Arranged it.
Oh, I'd play it for my car any day.